Welcome to Dream Freedom Beauty. I am your hostess, Natalie Ross, and this week's guest is the amazing Elise Enzenberger of La Mystica Tarot. And I just wanted to let you all know, dear listeners, that we are going to be hanging out with herbalist and magic maker extraordinaire Asia Suler in our March Self-Care Club Live online gathering that's happening on March 21st. So if you want to come join the party and check out what's going on back there, get on the list. Get on my mailing list over at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret, and you will be in the know about when and how and where you can sign up and everything about that. So come hang out with us live, face to face, online. We're like having group discussions. It's not just this one-way podcast deal anymore, and we're sharing our all our good self-care secrets and struggles and challenges and how we're overcoming them and you know, whatever else we want to talk about. So come hang out, ask questions, share your stories, and get to connect. Self-care club membership. You can sign up at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret to learn more about how to join. Welcome to the show, Elise.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. I'm so excited to talk with you on the show here. And for people who have not yet met Elise, either IRL or in the digital realms, you can follow along on Instagram at La Mystica Tarot. That's LAMYSTICATAROT. All one word like that on the Instagram, so you can check out her sweet feed. And gosh, Elise, this is, I don't know, it's such a treat because I love your approach to tarot and your approach to just life. So I'm super excited to talk today and to see where this goes.
Thanks. Yeah, me too. I feel the same way about you, Natalie. I've been following Dream Freedom Beauty for a long time and just like have been so excited to see its evolution and how it's grown. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Awesome. So before we start, I just want to invite everybody who's listening, if it's safe for you, if you're not driving, to close your eyes if possible. And if not, just soften your gaze, focus, pay attention, but check in with your body, check in with your breath, check in with your heart. Breathe in and feel that breath coming in. Breathe out. Notice any tension leaving your body as you breathe out. And if you like, put your hand over your heart. Feel your heartbeat. See if you can feel that heart energy floating around in that juicy, beautiful way. Or maybe your heart is in a different state today. Just check in. How are you feeling? Where is your breath? Where is your body? Where is your mind? Breathe into that heart. Breathe out and release any tension that's willing to melt away in the moment. And I want to welcome you all to receive exactly the medicine you need to receive today from this conversation. May your spirit and your mind and your ears and your heart all hear the exact thing it needs to hear, they need to hear, for that answer to click or that insight to pop. Whew.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool. So, open your eyes, everybody, if you haven't already, and let's rock and roll. Elise, let's start today with pulling a card. You are, after all, La Mystica Tarot, so let's do a card. And you want to share the intention we decided on today and then pull a card and share that with us.
Yeah, so we had just asked, what's the medicine for today, and left it left it broad, and I just pulled Temperance,
Ooh.
which is such a beautiful card, a beautiful, perfectly non-dual card. It's a non-binary card, so it's all about this blending of activity and receptivity.
Ooh.
And it's really beautiful too, because there's this one foot in the water. The angel has one foot in the water, one foot on land, kind of emerging from the Piscean season that we that we're coming from, back into a more earthy, airy place, really, with Aquarius. But I see Temperance as really, it can be a card of mental healing, of kind of like giving into the ease of flow and of balance. Of, you know, it can be about taking things away that we don't need, but it can also be about adding a little bit. It's like cooking a stew, you know, it's this beautiful moving concoction, and we're like adding a little bit, seeing how it feels, tasting it, adding a little more, taking a little out. So Temperance is all about that kind of like adjustment and flow in between the two. And I also love Temperance because it stands in between water and lands. This idea of the integration of consciousness and unconsciousness. Water often represents inner experience and unconsciousness and the emotional world, whereas land is more of the conscious persona, what we bring out in the light for others to see. And so that integration of those two parts of ourselves have such a healing capacity and a healing tone. So yeah, I think Temperance can very much be about like mental, emotional healing too. Or psycho-spiritual, as some might call it.
Cool. Thank you. And I love Temperance. You know, you said it's a non-binary card, and correct me if this is like totally off base, but I feel like it's a card that reminds us of our own non-binariness. In, you know, there's so many ways that we like to identify ourselves in this one thing, like we are this thing, but we're actually also spirit, and spirit has none of these identities. And how do we walk between these two worlds of I guess that's what you're saying, is like that psycho spiritual and that like conscious unconscious.
Yeah, it's totally about like being okay with in between, being unlabeled. When we think about you know, the binaries that we impose upon ourselves all the time, not just gender binary, but also like spirit versus matter, or health, or excuse me, mind versus body, as though these things are separate. You know, there's this like inherent duality that we perpetuate in our language, and that we're taught via the way we speak. And you know, I understand why we do that. It's easier for humans to like survive if we're like classifying things and we're able to like recognize patterns. But in a psycho-spiritual sense, these labels can really shove what is big and nebulous and amorphous and creative into these little tight boxes where they don't actually fit. And so Temperance is about being okay in that unknown, because in the unknown, there's that total expansion and tons of like creativity for expression. But also there is some like suspending your fear of like not having everything perfectly planned all the time.
Well, welcome to my life. I'm like constantly having to let go of that perfectionism. I know, is that something you've ever struggled with? Is that perfectionism, or?
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. I come from a long line of perfectionists, and I do think it's connected to my intergenerational wounds intergenerational things that I'm healing. Yeah, that perfectionism. I mean, that has played, dealing with it, facing it, and really like making friends with my perfectionism, and the fear that's really what it's cloaking, has been like so tremendously transformative in my business and in my life. Being like, you know what, I'm just gonna put out like most perfection is the opposite of finished,
right?
You know,
right?
So it's like, okay, get over yourself, like it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
Just put it out there.
Yeah, done is better than perfect. And have you heard that phrase people say of like, okay, if your first offering, you know, as a business, your first offering in business doesn't embarrass you, then you waited too long.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I love that because I'm like, oh, good. That's like giving me permission to be a little embarrassed about how not together this is, you know?
Like, yeah, totally. Well, I mean, and you've like seen me grow through like different iterations in my offerings of like, okay, well, I'm doing this and this and this and this and this and, you know, not really
right.
working and, you know, transforming into something different. And, you know, it's been really incredible in terms of like the shadow work that it's required, but also just the response from my community of like resonance and there being like room to change and room to grow says a lot about this community that I love so much.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, this is great because this all, one thing that you kind of specialize in with tarot now that you've, you know, your first offerings, you were like, what am I doing? And now it's been a while. And now, you know, you've gotten to navigate and you've gotten to serve a lot of people with your tarot practice. And something that's come up is that you are super passionate and seem to be very good at serving people who are in business and helping them with their business mindset through tarot and helping them with their empowerment and transformation. And, you know, cause like as anyone who's listening, who is in business, you know, we're all like, okay, yeah, shadow work. We're all like aware of these multidimensional aspects of ourselves. And a lot of typical business coaching and business advice does some mindset stuff, but they don't really dig into how freaking deep shadow work is and how every single button gets pushed when you go into business. And, I just want to ask you about that, you know, because your journey has led you to this point here now where you've been through that experience enough to be able to serve others from your own sort of shadow business journey. Do you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Well, so with reading for others, I do read for a lot of wellness professionals that, I mean, that's just who is like attracted to tarot, of course, but I've also read for like, actually a couple weeks ago, I read for like a tech CEO at an event, you know, and he needed some encouragement and I was able to say things that are true to him, that, you know, the cards, they kind of clue me off and what to talk about, but I watched him, just his demeanor totally transform over the 25 minutes that I was sitting with him, and I realized like, wow, this is like really, this practice is really powerful in this application, because like I said, I do read for a lot of wellness practitioners and that's definitely my passion. I think I want to help people who are doing intuitive things, doing readings for people in various ways or massage or healing work for others. I want to help them connect to their audience, connect to the mindset that it takes to get business going. And I've noticed that we get some mixed messaging that can be kind of disempowering around business and spirituality, and it's complicated and complex and nuanced, like everything.
Temperance, but, you know, y'all.
I had to, you know, me personally, like, I had a lot of fear around being seen and being heard. And I also had a lot of fear around, in that being seen, what was kind of tied up with that was fear of being criticized by others for, like, wanting to make money with my work. And that was something I really had to sort through and, you know, kind of look at from various angles, and eventually, like, move through and past, because I realized that my attachment to that resistance and being like, you know, I come from, like, in college, I was like an activist, and I trained under an herbalist who was this, like, amazing, like, anarchist woman, you know, so these roots of kind of anti-capitalism run deep. Yeah. In my education and in my life experience. And so learning how to navigate that in business, because I wasn't reaching anybody. And I had a lot of blocks around it. And now I'm learning how to become more empowered. And it's like, okay, well, now that I actually, like, make money with my offerings, I'm able to, like, give to causes that I care about. I'm able to, you know, I have some spots that I give away for very low cost or free to some students. And, you know, I'm able to offer things that I wouldn't necessarily have been able to offer before. And learning how to, like, just step into, like, a place of power around that rather than a place of disempowerment. And tarot has definitely helped me with that, as well as, like, journaling and talking to friends and taking, courses with some other powerful witches like Carolyn Elliott, which I know you and I were in thrill together. Mm-hmm. And that was so powerful, and I highly recommend it.
Love it.
Got to give her a shout out. So, but yeah, I realized a lot of that was very much tied into my, some stories that I was telling myself, and these attachments that I had, to, like, being obscure, you know, safe to be obscure.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, so I want to dig into this, because this is big. And I, full disclosure, y'all, I actually had a really crazy life-changing day. It was like a period of like 12 hours in October. And afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I need support. And I actually reached out to Elise, and we talked about it. And I have the exact same sort of fear of being seen around money stuff. It's just so deep. I have a feeling that this speaks to so many people, because this is the old thing of, like, you know, people say if you have a spiritual gift, you should give it away. And, like, you know, money is bad, and the whole capitalism thing, and da, da, da. There's so much tied up in this. And so, Elise, mm-hmm. from your perspective, what really helped you loosen the anchors that kept you tied down to this story, that kept you stuck in that place where it was safer to be obscure than to be seen?
Well, definitely some of the shadow work stuff with Carolyn Elliott, the DFIs, which I know you had an episode with her on, and she talked about the deepest fears inventory. That definitely started the process of loosening some of these stories. But also, I would like to talk about the what can be referred to as, like, unconscious processes. You know, we have these thoughts that are so deeply ingrained, we don't even hear them as thoughts. And I really had to excavate some of that stuff with tarot and working with other people, working with other readers, and reaching out for help myself.
So you not only did your own personal work, but you also reached out for support in like an array of different types of support, it sounds like.
Oh, hell yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make that clear.
Yes. And, you know, I realized that it's these thoughts that we can't even hear as thoughts, because they're so deep down in there, that are what can really, like, keep you stuck in a place. And so it's like, okay, how do we get to those thoughts?
Okay. So how do you?
Well, one thing is well, relationally, a resource that I recommend is The Work by Byron Katie.
Yeah.
She has like the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. That was really helpful because it showed me a lot of where I was like projecting my own stuff onto others. But also this coach, her name is Brooke Castillo. She has a thing called The Model, and she offers it for free, I think, on her website. But it really helped me to understand how to sort of view those. And basically, the connection is between thoughts and feelings, that your thoughts are what create your emotions. And so if you're feeling a certain way, it's kind of digging into that feeling of like, oh, I'm feeling so angry right now. Like, what is the thought that causes that feeling? Like, what thought am I thinking? And really trying to tune into, okay, what is the thought? And it's usually a really simple thought. It's usually like, I'm not good enough. Or he sucks, or whatever. Right. And so it's like, we can't control circumstances outside of us. We can't control our past. We can't control anything outside of ourselves. But we can control our thoughts. And the thoughts can, I mean, we know biologically that our thoughts produce chemically our emotions. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, working through that, as I was doing some of that work, memories started coming up that I had like long put away, and realizing like, oh, that's why I like get so triggered around this particular subject, because I have all these painful memories tied to it. And I didn't even realize it, you know?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Like I see my part in all of these. So yeah, that's really the thrust of my tarot work too, is, you know, I'm trying to ask you, like, what is true for you? What can you change? And that's been a really transformative practice, is like, what can I change in this moment? Because our thoughts really are so, so powerful for change. So
totally, totally. And I mean, I just keep thinking back to Temperance. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. what a perfect representation of, moving between that mental and emotional world back and forth, and like, okay, where's this feeling? What's it rooted in? Where's this thought? What's it rooted in? You know, like going deeper and deeper and deeper, kind of back and forth to the core, to that core belief or that core wounding or that core trauma, and getting to really come face to face with it and ask, is it true?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to point out too that it's not about affirmations. It's not about telling yourself something that is not believable to you. So it's like, okay, well, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. And then you're like, I'm going to make $1 million tomorrow. I'm going to make $1 million. Like, it's not that. It's even like more simple of like finding like acceptance and gratitude in the moment of like, I'm broke and that's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm broke and I still have food. It's okay. You know, I'm broke and I'm going to get paid next Tuesday. And, you know, that's only 4 days away. I have support. Like, it's all right. You know, like it's kind of a slow change. It's not necessarily like, it still has to be believable to your ego. But sometimes it's as simple as just like releasing the shame around it. Yeah. So
totally. Totally. So for you, what was your, you know, you kind of touched on this and shared a little bit about, you know, your background with the, you know, your anarchist herbal teacher and stuff, but what was that shame around being seen and around, you know, publicly being like, hey, I want to make money. And you know, like, and it's, I know that your business isn't just about, hey, I'm make, it's not just about business. Like we're all here in service to a higher purpose and to each other and to the earth. But we do play within this system of capitalism, and it is really complex. And, so what was your shame around that? If you're willing to share.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's taken many, different faces, you know, it transmutes. And just like right. tarot, like these lessons revisit us with different, through different characters or through different stories. And so, you know, initially my shame was very much around like, well, nothing I do matters. My work doesn't really matter that much. Like nobody really cares. Really seeking like a lot of external validation for my work rather than like trying to be internally validated first and feeling good and like grateful and excited first. So there was that initially, and then it kind of moved into like, yeah, what are people going to think? you know, and then being able to overcome that thought of like, it doesn't matter because I know that this is my truth. And when I'm really dialed into my truth, I can be brave, you know? And so working through that. And then even now, you know, I'm still working through, I'm like, is tarot stigmatized? Am I stigmatized by being a tarot reader? I read at a public event. I mean, this was probably like a year ago. This was a while back. And this, it was a really crowded event with like lots of different folks that I don't normally encounter. And a lot of kids were there. It was like at this big, beautiful outdoor brewery outside of Austin. And this little boy ran by my booth and looked at me with the biggest eyes and was just like, I'm not supposed to look at you. And like wow. screeched and ran away. And I was like, yes, I'm finally the witch I always wanted to be. Like scary children. I'm so stoked.
that's your diploma.
Yeah. I'm like, I've made it. get off my lawn, kid. I love children.
get on the lawn and eat the weeds, children.
Yes, yes. Try this strange salad. but yeah, even, you know, I'm in a program for counseling and I'm kind of navigating like, well, how does this work with tarot? And obviously there is like so much related. I'm not in like a, I'm not in California with like a bunch of like alternative psychology folks,
yeah,
or like transpersonal psychologists or anything like that. Like I'm in Austin at a private university, and so a Catholic university, and so you know there's no verbal pushback, but sometimes I get the vibe of like people don't really know what to do with me because they're like tarot, okay. And so, yeah, I'm like working through my mindset of like, actually, there is so many people who resonate with this. And every time I do readings, I'm confirmed and that there is resonance and that this is needed. And really the bringing reflection and the ability to like change our own minds and to change them quickly into the conversation about healing, you know, like, there's so much of psychology that digs into the past, and that is all circumstantial. And certainly there is a place for that. There's a place for emotional catharsis. There is a place for therapists. I am a huge advocate for therapists, but learning how to distinguish, okay, well, where does tarot fit into that? And I'm finding that like it is really resonating with women who also do intuitive work and who are, yeah, witching out wherever they are.
Yeah.
You know, so
you're like this counselor in training, and you're like this counselor in training for intuitive empathic healers in business, you know, like that's because that itself is a spiritual journey, is being in business and the, you know, us types of people, we really do need someone who can handle all the worlds, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual, and hand it back to us in a way that, you know, hand our confusions and tangledness, reflect it back to us in a way that we can see the wholeness. And I feel like, you know, for me, when I went and started therapy years and years and years ago, I needed someone who could do that. And I found someone who was a shaman and a trained counselor. So it's really cool to see that you're weaving these worlds together and providing more than just that mental
and emotional rehashing and digging, which I'm not dissing, but I'm just saying, like, I know it's, there's more. There's more to the picture. Question, which, you know, because it's kind of surprising. Why did you choose to go to a Catholic grad school?
Because it's here.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't have to move, and it's in my neighborhood, and they had the program that I wanted, and it's a professional program, so it's a little bit more flexible than like a traditional, just straight up graduate program. Like the hours are more flexible and things like that. So yeah, you know, it's definitely been, yeah, really interesting learning experience. And, but I also feel very grateful because I'm like, wow, like what I'm doing, like none of my classmates are really doing what I'm doing, and that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
like I serve someone specific, you know, I serve the people that maybe also feel stigmatized for being mystical, which is definitely part of my, part of my story of learning how to like feel empowered in that. Like, you know, hell yeah, I'm a mystic. Like they called Carl Jung a mystic. I'll take the title. You know, like, mm-hmm. So yeah. Convenience is my answer. Not a great one.
Works for me. You know, I didn't know. Maybe you were like, you know, I didn't know. So, it is interesting to see that you're in this experience of this very, I mean, I would say it sounds very mainstream, but here you are wondering, is tarot stigmatized? And the question I have to ask from that is, well, what lens are you looking through when you look at tarot? You know, because I feel like how there is no one answer. Is it stigmatized? I don't know. I guess I just see, like, when I see you talking here right now and sharing that kind of experience you had, I see all these different windows of approaches of looking at it. And it's interesting that your role, you know, I'm not a tarot reader, so I obviously don't sit around thinking about if it's stigmatized or not, but you know, maybe there's other tarot readers who do, but like what I, you know, maybe I need a little clarification here. I think that's what I need. Sorry, I'm just kind of like, why is it stigmatized? Like, what's stigmatized about it? And maybe I'm just so in this world that I'm like, yeah, tarot, cool, of course it's a tool for healing, duh. Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm just like in it. I get it.
Well, I have encountered fear around it from others. And, you know, I live in Texas, so like that's part of it.
True.
Too.
Right.
so I've definitely encountered fear. But I also think, you know, tarot is a lot like a holy book in the sense of it has truths and it has archetypal truths. And they can be interpreted in a number of ways. And I do think that perhaps in our recent past, there have been ways of using tarot in a divinatory sense or in a way that is like very deterministic.
Right. Like everything was like as if everything's predetermined. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Or that like I'm going to tell your future.
Right. Right. That is okay. That is kind of a stigma around it. Right.
Yeah, that it's synonymous with fortune telling, which I find totally puzzling. And so having to explain to people like, no, this is like a reflective tool. We're going to talk about the present moment because you have all of the power in the world to change your direction from where you are right now. So, yeah, I think some, like any beautiful and like massive and beyond kind of transcendental work, like any transcendent work, I would say, it's open to a lot of interpretation. And there have certainly been interpretations in the past that are disempowering. So I'm looking at it from a lens of not just empowerment. I mean, I talk about empowerment all the time because it's been so important in my journey, but also through the lens of like what we know now about the mind and the body and how they're connected, and what we know now about mental and emotional health. So connecting all of those things has been very much a part of my practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And so that, I guess I'm just kind of trying to step outside of my little world bubble where I'm like, I will consult the tarot for, you know, for insight about big decisions I have to make, because I'm just, I trust it. You know, I'm like, this is me working with spirit, and this is just a way for spirit to communicate to me a little more clearly than other methods that I might tap into sometimes. And trying to sit here and step outside of that and look back from the outside of this and see what you're saying here with people looking at tarot and thinking, oh yeah, fortune telling. And I think that's just such a completely different paradigm.
Yeah. I think it's a cultural thing for sure.
Yeah. Amazing. Fascinating.
But I've also discovered a lot, of course, you know, I've discovered a lot of curiosity and people that are open to learning new things and open to like exploring the tool of tarot. And I do think that there is growth in that aspect, that more and more people are wanting to connect with a way to access deeper reflection about themselves. And tarot suits that process very well. So yeah, I do see growth also. And, you know, part of my mindset work is like focusing on the people that I do serve, focusing on the growth that I do see, focusing on the truth that tarot can bring from within your own wellspring. And, you know, providing a counterpoint to this kind of cultural messaging that like we always need to be consulting things outside of us to know what the truth is. You know, there's so much overwhelming information, and there's so much coming at us all the time. Tarot provides like a container in which to get back in touch with yourself, and to kind of cut out all of these other inputs for even just a moment. That's what I love about the practice. I will say I don't do like full spreads for myself. I usually will just pull like a card every day, or sometimes even a card a week, and just like hang on to it. And the reason being is that your mind still wants to play games.
Yeah, right.
My mind still wants to play games. And so sometimes I'll pull a card and I'm like, I don't know what that's about. But I know what it's about. I'm just like not ready to face it yet. And mm-hmm. so that is what is helpful about getting readings from other people. And I do have a lot of trusted readers that I turn to locally, friends and teachers who can reflect back a more neutral truth that incorporates some of that shadow stuff that I might be trying to dodge. So that's the use in having other people read for you.
Yeah. Definitely. I feel that too, because you can't see the forest for the trees when you're in your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, okay. I feel like we had to go through all that because I feel like we had to touch on a few big points here that I think I take for granted, but I could sense that maybe not all the listeners had fully connected with these ideas yet, connected with tarot. That one being that A, it's not a fortune telling device. It's not here to like say what your predetermined future is, which I do think it gets used for a lot, because I think that's a different paradigm that people are shifting out of. And that leads to that idea that we're so used to looking to truth outside of ourselves. But tarot is a tool for seeing that inner truth reflected back to us. And that inner truth is reflected back to us more powerfully when we invite others into the picture to help us see our own reflection more clearly. And that this is all sort of this container within which we are able to make this paradigm shift and start reclaiming that power and reclaiming our ability to step into that truth. And especially when you're doing this with other people, tarot readings with other people, you're reclaiming that sense of trusting that it's okay to be seen in this way and trusting others and creating community. I mean, there's so much wrapped up within this one, you know, 78 card deck.
Like. Yeah. You said it so beautifully. And something else that I want to just add to that is, well, two things. One is when I'm reading, I think that all of the cards have to do with the querent. And that's something else that I think is shifting in the world of tarot.
Just for querent is a great word, but just that's the person who's getting the reading, just for right. anyone who's got a question mark there.
Yeah, the receiver. Yeah. And so I always think that I frame all of the interpretations of the cards, even if there's multiple court cards, to be about the person who is receiving, because mm-hmm. that is the only person that you can change. And I don't find interpretations where it's like, well, you know, three queens means competition between women outside of you. It's like, well,
powerless.
It's disempowered. But also, if you think that you're going to be looking for examples that fortify your suspicion that there's competition, right?
Right.
and so you're projecting out and then walking into that projection, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So there's that aspect of, like, I think the cards are always for the person, and I want to look at them from a perspective of, what does this mean for you? What does this mean that you can change, or you can decide? What are your relationships with all these different energies? And how do you like them? How do they serve you? How do you not like them? You know, et cetera. And then the other aspect of that is that I think all of the cards, I don't read reversals because I read full light and shadow spectrum for all of the cards. So I think reversals can kind of have some of the older interpretations I've seen with reversals have a kind of dogmatic tone of, like, maybe you're doing something bad. You know, people are like, oh, a reversal, you know, like, what does that mean? But I read all of the cards to be like people, you know, their light and their shadow are two sides of the same coin. They cannot be separated. I don't say, like, well, this one, you know, we talk about both sides. So, like, I don't know, like the Queen of Cups, intuitive, inner experience, often for empathic, psychic people, you know, it's an introverted water energy. These are all positive aspects. The shadow side of the Queen of Cups can be like emotionally manipulative or controlling or moody. You know, it is not separated from that emotional power. Mm-hmm. That emotional power can be rendered one way or the other. And so exploring these ideas of light and shadow, of this like duality as being totally inseparable from each other.
Yeah. And yeah. And you did say it's like on this more on the spectrum instead of this either or aspect, which I really like. And, you know, something, reversals are something that are kind of confusing. So what does it look like? Can you clarify a little bit for us what it looks like for you when you, I mean, you just gave us the Queen of Cups example, but, you know, this is something even I'm personally struggling with with tarot sometimes is how to read that energy and are there questions that help you?
Well, so when I encounter a card, you know, or like if you're doing a personal reading and you encounter a card, it's like, okay, what do I know about this card? What energy does it symbolize to me? What relationship do I have with this card? Because I often find that with different readers, their interpretations will touch on the same essence, but interpretations will be very different based on their own experience with the card. And so I have like a little tarot coven that I, you know, we consult about once a month, and I love them so much. But it's fascinating to hear people's interpretations about the essentially the same energy, because that energy plays a different role in everyone's life. And so, yeah, when I encounter a card, I'm like, okay, where have I seen this card before? What times in my life have I drawn this card before? And what does this energy look like when it's in balance? What are the positive, constructive ways I can use this energy? And what does this energy look like when it's out of balance, or when it's being destructive, or when I'm being destructive in it? And so that can kind of help, you know, clarify some of the decisions that we make in regards to like particular relationships. So that's how I see it. And that's why, like I said, I don't necessarily read reversals, because there's light and shadow to every card.
Okay. So I'm feeling like when you get over, I guess my question is too, is when you get a reversal, it doesn't indicate that it's like headed a little more towards the shadow, because you already just kind of include that in any reading, no matter if it's upright or reversed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my personal take. I know that is
really
not,
like that.
Yeah, that's not true for everyone. And, you know, it's kind of a split field. I've seen readers who, my own teachers, who some of them read reversals and some of them don't, for different reasons. But for me, that's my practice, is looking at it through this kind of Jungian psychological perspective. And to me, it just makes the most sense to view it as a person, where the energy imbalance and out of balance, they're connected. They're inseparable, like I said.
So, yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah. And, my brain is like so nebulous today, because I am on my moon time, listeners. Hey, you all get to know that right now. But so I'm just like kind of, tell me about the Page of Wands, because I just recently pulled this for something, and upright it was telling me these one things, and then the reverse was telling me these other things, and I was like, well, what does it really mean? Like, I pulled it reversed, and I guess I just get confused. And I'm sorry, Elise, I don't know what I'm asking here, because this is something that I'm struggling with so much that I'm just kind of like, hey, tell me more, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. With the Page of Wands, where have you drawn that card before? Has it been visiting you a lot lately?
This is what's up. Thank you. So I was drawing some tarot cards to get more clarity on what's wanting, what are Dream Freedom Beauty, and what are Self Care Club, and what is this media network I'm creating? What does it really want to become, you know, so that I can tap into that and help bring it to fruition? Because it's not something that I just made up. It's something that I'm co-creating with spirit. And I asked the question, what is it that is wanting to be embodied and come through? And it was the Page of Wands. And I was like, and it was reversed. And I was like, this is really strange. I just couldn't get it. So how would you, you know, walk me through how I would interpret that in relation to my inquiry?
Okay. So, pages are students, and wands, are fire and have to do with creative work or inspiration, but also like actually doing the work, you know, they're related to like woodsmen and craftspeople actually creating the craft. So it's very appropriate, I think, that you drew the Page of Wands for this work, because I know that it's deeply inspiring to you. And I will say, reading for friends is different than reading for strangers, because I do have some conscious knowledge of who you are and your background. So, and I'm not going to like pretend that
you don't. Yeah, bring it.
Well, or pretend that I can like overlook it, because I can't. Yeah. Like, that's very much a part of how I perceive you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see that as, So the Page of Wands is super imaginative and like checking out this new growth. And he also has like a, or they also have a kind of a performative aspect of like, you know, kind of a thespian, like loving to be on stage aspect to them. That's not negative at all. It's a positive aspect to the Page of Wands. And there's like a creative curiosity about the page. And I think that it kind of makes, it's asking maybe about making room for play and not needing to like define immediately what exactly it has to look like, but rather kind of embodying a more visionary, like experimental stance towards your work. Because he kind of gazes at the wand, you know, questioningly, and there's this vibrance about the card and about him, the feather in the hat and everything. So I guess if I had drawn this, I would say like, okay, well, the positive aspects of the Page of Wands are this inspiration and this like beginning to pull a thread of like vision and big dreams and like a natural magnetism and like people naturally like wanting to like hear or see you. And incorporating some of that playfulness. I think the shadow side to the Page of Wands can be very much related to the performative aspect of like not needing to, not doing things to please the crowd, to please your audience, but to really be like in connection with spirit and with your inspiration. I think also all of the pages, the shadow of all of the pages can be kind of like an indecision or kind of it can kind of fall off the edge of like too much whimsy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I personally don't really see you like embodying a lot of the shadow aspects of that in this moment, other than like, you know, maybe some like self-imposed confusion around it, when in reality like there's so much expansion around you, and you know, you are like so connected to source, and just like allowing space for that to be, allowing space for that inspiration to flow through, not needing to like define it in this moment right now, because you're going to pivot a lot, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Through your journey, especially as you garner more information. So does that help?
Yeah, cool. And so I like how I think it helps on that. Thank you. First of all, thank you. I did not come to this conversation with the intention of being like, hey, Elise, tell me about this card I pulled for myself. You know, like that was not on the plate in my mind. But here it is. And it was helpful for me because not only did you give some information here, you know, pertinent to this inquiry I had, but I got to see how it relates, how it was almost like you told a story about someone or an energy. You told the story about this energy a little bit, like it's this Page of Wands, you know, who are they, what are they doing, and where are some of their shadows. And hearing that story kind of gives me something to step into that archetypal energy, essentially, or that energy, mm-hmm. to step into. And by stepping into that story, I can see where I'm at with what you're sharing in that, you know, like, oh, I can see how this aspect really speaks to what I'm doing. And I can see how this aspect is something that maybe I'm struggling with, or that I've like been, you know, mm-hmm. you know, trying to avoid, that is actually okay, or I've been trying to force this, you know, for me, I'm like, I think sometimes I try to force too much definition on what I'm doing, because that's what the world kind of expects and tells you that you need to have.
Yeah, and it's like, what's your mission statement right now?
And like, I really deeply crave that, but you know what you're saying here at the Page of Wands is like, don't force it into that box. And I'm like, but I want that box.
Well, because it comes at the expense of like experimentation and playfulness.
Right.
It reminds me of Joseph Campbell talks about archetypes as like signs. He's like, you follow the sign when you encounter it. You don't climb up the signpost, you know? And this idea too of like, yeah, like you are embodying the Page of Wands right now. In some ways, like, yeah, what are these different, what are the paths available to you in this archetypal energy?
Cool. It's funny too. Maybe this is more, maybe we'll just have to have more of a personal conversation around this because I'm like, there's these other things here, but I want to talk about your experience with transformation and how tarot played a part in that. Because I know that just from knowing a little bit about your story, I know that you actually had a background where you kind of did the things. I mean, we hear this a lot. We hear this a lot of people checked off the boxes. They did the things and then they realized that they weren't happy when they did all the things they were told they were supposed to do to be successful, or, you know, when you went down that path. And, you know, you don't have to get into the whole story. You can touch on what feels necessary to share. But, you know, I really want to know, what did tarot do for you on that journey? So take us to that point where you were like, I want to say in the void, you know, because I think we all kind of get the idea of like, yeah, I did the things and then I was like, this isn't enough. So then take us to the void that after you kind of disconnected from that old life.
Yeah, there definitely was a void after disconnection from my old life of, so one thing is that I have suffered with depression, you know, the majority of my adult life, and learning how to mitigate that has been a huge part of my journey. And tarot often helps with that because it points me to where I might be having destructive thoughts or like cycling thoughts. It can interrupt that downward spiral.
Yeah.
And really it is tarot, but it's also, you know, journaling, and it's tarot in conjunction with other support for sure.
Would you say tarot is like, tarot points the arrow in the direction you need to dive deeper? I couldn't resist.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thanks for letting me cheese up a little bit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're funny. yeah, totally. It totally points the arrow. It gives a language with which to explore where your mind is at, or where your thoughts are at, or where ideas are. And like, okay, how can I embody something different right now? And what needs to change to change that embodiment? Tarot in conjunction with journaling and in conjunction with supportive community, friends and teachers, has been very, very transformative in helping me mitigate depression. You know, I basically didn't have, in my young adult life, I didn't have any tools for mitigating depression. And so it was just kind of this like self-destructive spiral. And I've definitely returned to the edge of that, you know, in various times in my life, and kind of like spun out. But since I've encountered tarot, it's kind of a practice that grounds me and like brings me back. It's a spiritual practice, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
but when you say, you know, you didn't have the tools and you were self-destructive, do you mean the stuff that we think of typically like drinking and drugs and da 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 da? I mean, like, you know,
totally.
Okay,
Also like codependent relationships and like just seeking a lot of meaning in people outside of me rather than seeking meaning within myself and like what was meaningful for me. So, you know, if you're seeking a lot of external validation, you're getting tossed about by the whims of everything outside of you. And you know, I had a lot of my own memories and actions, a lot of my own actions, to forgive myself for. And so those things have cropped up, you know, again, and they can just send me back down into that spiral if I'm not careful. But yeah, the tarot kind of helps like ground and bring me back to a place of like reflection. And really, like I said, it's just a container where I can like return to. And it was really helpful for me because, you know, yoga, I started on my journey by like encountering yoga first. I know we talked about it in my self-care club interview about like yoga's the real gateway drug.
Yeah, right.
You know, like opens up everything else. You know, sometimes like my meditation practice or yoga, it's not always like really resonant with me, or I don't necessarily want to do it. But there is one thing that I always want to do, and that is writing. And so tarot is really helpful for writing. And tarot can also be really helpful for movement, like dancing. Like, okay, I'm going to embody this energy and see what it feels like. What is it like to like dance around as the Page of Wands, you know?
Right, or that Queen of Cups, or the right. Priestess, or yeah.
Yeah, they move differently. They move differently. So, yeah, and like what music does the Page of Wands like, and what music does the Queen of Cups like? My Queen of Cups, you know. It has been hugely helpful for mitigating that. And it has been in conjunction with a lot of, like I said, like thought work. Really, it's, I realize now that a lot of my suffering and kind of like can't get out of bed, everything is so meaningless, feelings came from like spiraling thoughts. And when I say I didn't have the tools, like I didn't realize, you know, that these thoughts are what we're creating, this harsh bubble.
And the spiraling outwards.
Yeah, and the spiraling for sure. Mm-hmm. And I really just like had no idea how to even encounter them or change them. And, you know, so yeah, therapy was a huge part of it. Yoga was a huge part of it. Getting back in the body. But tarot is kind of a culmination of so many things that I deeply love. I deeply love psychology. I've always loved psychology. And I love like the history of psychology, and I love where psychology kind of touches, or kind of takes over where philosophy, you know, kind of went super semantic and, and like really academic and like disconnected from like the art of living. I think psychology kind of took over there. And so, you know, I love all of that, and I'm kind of an existentialist to the bone. And so tarot really is useful in that framework of, you know, addressing fears that are usually inside, internal dilemmas, you know, everything stems from within.
Yeah.
It's also been really helpful for just dealing with a lot of external stress. I mean, I know like politically right now, there's so much stress for people, and conversations are super polarized, and that can be really intense and stressful. And not saying like we shouldn't focus on that. That's not what I'm saying at all, but rather like shifting my focus to like, okay, what is like a constructive solution that I can focus on, rather than focusing on that like downward spiral of like judgment and hate and resentment, because that is not like a long-term plan that's going to work for anybody. Kind of learning how to control my focus, and learning that like I do indeed have an option to refocus. And I guess what I'd like to say too is that is a practice, and the healing is in that return. I know that's said in meditation a lot, that the healing is in the return. It's not the actual like thoughtless space, but rather when you catch yourself thinking and you come back to your breath, that's where the healing is. And I think that's true in this work too. That's true in our thought life also, of like, you're going to still have crazy thoughts that, or like destructive thoughts, or thoughts that are out of line with your higher self, or out of line with the love that you deserve to give yourself. But it's catching them and being like, oh yeah, I'm going to change that. Like, mm-hmm. that's not true. This is true, you know? And so these, you know, in my younger 20s, I was just like constantly had this cycle of thoughts in my head of like, my life is meaningless. No one cares about my work. Like, that was the track in my head, and learning how to, you know, it took a lot of years of excavating and healing and work. It's work, you know, it takes more energy than staying the same.
That's why they call it practice, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely, yeah, it takes energy. It takes focus and vigilance. But it is completely possible also. It is within everyone's capacity. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was.
That's okay. I feel like there's, you know, I've had a really nebulous day here, and I feel like I just needed to show up and kind of poke you, because there's this wellspring of insight that just pours out of you. So I'm like, you know, I don't even need to ask a question. I'm like, hey, Elise, tell me about something. And you're like, whoa. Like, I love it. I'm just sitting here listening. And to me, I guess the thread I keep hearing again and again, and you've said it in a bunch of different ways, and I really just want to repeat this so that listeners can chomp on it and really swallow it and make it their own here, because it's so important, is that transition from external validation to internal reclaiming and standing in your power and in your truth and just being who you are without needing that external anything. I mean, we all need each other in this ecosystem of life, but there's a difference between, you know, that interdependent versus codependent. And I think your story really speaks to that a lot. And I think that's something that you really specialize in, and something that you can hold that non-judgmental space for people who are making that transition, whether it's in life or business.
Yeah, one of my professors talked about that the movement is from, you know, the movement of growth is from codependence to dependence, and that a lot of modern philosophers and psychologists kind of just ended there of like, okay, you need to move from codependence into dependence. But really what comes after dependence is interdependence. So, you know, there is like a moving into independence and becoming your own self and like fortifying your own vessel, mm-hmm. and filling in those cracks and leaks that have been there for a long time in order to come to the collective in a really full and powerful way, and become interdependent with others because you're taking care of yourself first.
Self-care, y'all.
Self-care, y'all. Yeah. And I mean, and that's why I see, like, I see taking responsibility for like your own healing as like the most radical act, political act.
Yeah.
like that's where it starts, for sure. And, you know, we see like the stories of activists who are super, like, what's the word? They were effective, super effective. And it's like, because they had a very whole sense of self and at like a deep wellspring of like spirituality. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Interdependence, you know, you mentioned that there's this moving from like filling in the cracks and holes and kind of mm-hmm. pulling away from that codependence into that dependence and independence and moving to interdependence. Mm-hmm. Can you describe, you know, just in your perspective, because I think this is something that we're all sort of tuning into in our own ways. What does interdependence look like to you?
Wow. That's a great question.
Turn on that visionary sight and tell us what you see.
In a collective sense or in an individual sense?
Whichever perspective you wish.
Well, it's easy for me to give examples from an individual sense for example, when, you know, I actually haven't really talked about this publicly, but I'm going to because I love this community and why not? When I met my partner, I was very codependent on him for sure. I was really young and was transitioning from another relationship into this one, and, which kind of like has its own baggage, right?
Its own stuff.
Here's all my stuff. love me. And so my journey has been very much about kind of breaking those bonds of codependence, and which was really from me. Like, I was the origin source of that energy, and I can see that now and take responsibility for it.
What did it, what did that feel like? You know, what it, give us just an example of what it looked like and what it feel like, felt like.
Oh, I could not feel full. I could not feel full in any way, like emotionally or even physically. Like, I could just consume everything in sight. You know, I could like eat and eat and eat and drink and drink and drink and drink, and like could never smoke enough weed and could never like get enough love. You know,
that's insatiable.
Yeah, I was insatiable. I was monstrous.
That hungry ghost.
Yeah, that hungry ghost was driving my car, you know, like it was ruling my life. And breaking those ties and dealing, you know, with my depression and with addiction and with my thoughts and learning, you know, even like beyond just like getting physically healthy and being like, okay, but now I'm like physically healthy and I feel better, but like, how does that translate into relationship and needing to have like time apart so I could like redefine myself. And so he could redefine his self also. And being able to like come back together and forgive each other for our past and also see each other in a new life, in a new light and in a new life. There has been a lot of our practice right now is like, yeah, leaving space to see how the other has changed. And when there is that space, it is just like so remarkable. Like, I feel so lucky to have experienced a love like that, where, you know, we've seen each other in really dark times and still like love each other and have like turned our backs on each other at a point and come back together and are able to like meet in a new place of intimacy. The way our relationship now looks is much like what I imagine interdependence looks like, where it's like, I have my own life and I'm so on fire for my own passions, for myself. Like, even if we broke up tomorrow, I know I would be okay. I know that I would still be on my path. I didn't know that before. I know that now. Like, I'm so in love with the work that I do now and in love with who I am now, that I am able to like really like give in a new way and leave space and allow him to like be his fullest expression of self without trying to like control or like clamp down in any way. Wow, it's just been transformative. So yeah, that's like an easy example for me of like moving from codependence into independence and being alone and figuring my stuff out into interdependence of like, okay, like my life is better with you in it. I love it that you're in it. and I want to like honor you in your fullness, and I want you to honor me in my fullness. And like, yeah, we have much more of our own lives, you know, now too. So yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. And you know, that's kind of like a, it's not an easy question to answer because it's something that we're all learning and creating. Like, that's kind of the shift we're making as a collective right now, is that move from codependency with this capitalistic system and with the consumerism into independence and then into interdependence. And we're creating this new version of
what life on Earth can be like. And here, I love this microcosm that you've shared with us of this, of your personal relationship. And I think that's really where it all begins, is in our personal relationships. We learn how to create that dynamic and get to, you know, navigate that. And I love, okay, I really love about your story here is that you didn't, you know, maybe some people do need to leave a codependent relationship and it's over and done. But for you, it was rebirthed in a new way when you were able, when you were willing to let go of needing it in order to be, quote, worthy or vulnerable or whole or whatever, you know, like fake, fake whole, we'll call it. When you let go of it, it didn't mean it was over. It gave it space, which you mentioned, to be redefined as you were each redefined. And now that space is such an important part of being interdependent and being able to come together. It's so cool. I mean, there's so much there. Ah, love it.
Well, and I think that, you know, reflection is really the space to reflect and the space to be still, even if, like, because sometimes meditation is really hard for me and I don't necessarily like connect to it in the same way as I connect to maybe like a moving meditation of like dancing or walking or tarot, where I'm like reflecting. You know, those can be meditative practices too. And I think I'm so glad meditation has like hit the mainstream, so to speak, and like there's studies being done about it and all this kind of stuff. I'm so glad, but like that's not the only way to connect. And if it's hard for you, or like you have a really hard time keeping up that practice, like it's okay. Like you don't have to start there. Like you can start somewhere where you really just have space to reflect and reconnect and with the quiet and with the self in the quiet. Because I think that is what really gives us room to heal and also to like allow things to pass. You know, I have a Leo sun, so I can be really like, I'm going to fight you right now and I'm going to make this fight keep going. And I have a Capricorn moon, so I'm like, and I'm right about everything. Yeah. And so I know these tendencies about myself. And so, yeah, like I've just become more connected to like how much space I really need and how I really need to like put forth boundaries to make mental space for myself, because I think a lot of conflict can arise when highly sensitive people are just overstimulated all the time, which I think is true for like a lot of our society, our civilization is like this constant overstimulus. There's no room to like really reflect. And that's where a lot of healing takes place, is in the reflection. That's why I'm so passionate about tarot.
Totally. Yeah. And gosh, I'm excited. So you actually have this, you have so much. There's like, as we're sitting here, I feel like we could just talk and talk and talk for hours, because there's so much and it is such a powerful tool, and your approach and your story have given you this ability to work with it and to share it with others in such a way that is very healing. So I'm excited, you know, and maybe I don't know. Is it okay if I share about your upcoming, can I do this, or should we just leave people in the, should we leave them hanging?
No, do it.
Okay.
Ultimate accountability practice.
Ultimate accountability. So Elise is making her own podcast. Release date is still to be determined, but I mean, it's obvious that there's just so much that wants to come through you. There's just like, I said it before, I'll say it again, this like wellspring. And I'm really excited to see what form and shape it takes and what path it carves out as it unfolds. And I think listeners that are listening right now will definitely be served by this. So I'm super excited to share that. But until then, well, do you want to share anything about that, or do you want to just kind of
plug in? Yeah. Well, so I am launching my podcast this spring. So yeah, I don't have an exact date, but let's just say April. if you would like to be in the know about that, please just follow me on Instagram or go to my website and join my email list, because I'll be announcing it through there. But the other thing I wanted to say about it is that Natalie's going to be a guest.
I'm so stoked. And I'm stoked. And I'm, oh my God, it's awesome. I'm like, can we do it right now? I'm so excited.
Every time I talk to you, I'm just like, I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked. but yeah, it is going to be about right now. What is really interesting to me is this intersection of spirituality and entrepreneurship as it relates to women. Well, everybody, but
femme.
a focus on women. And how they relate to business, because it is nuanced, and I'm interested to see how all of these powerful witches talk about their journey through business. And I encounter a lot of wellness practitioners who own their own businesses. And so I'm just seeing this theme, and I'm like super interested in it myself right now. So
love it. Yeah.
So can't wait to hear all about the media empire that you're building.
The Natalian empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, right, even right there, something I struggle with, because I really, really, really freaking love business. It's like my secret obsession is business and business strategy and all of that. But it's also, we're going to talk about it, because there's a lot of untangling with, you know, conditioning and with consumerism and all those shoulds to step into that place of being spirit led. And how do you do that in a way that's like, livable in today's world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the question, right? So I'm excited. I can't wait to hear other people's stories and to hear my own, because I don't even I don't know, I'm just such a goofy man, and I thank you for letting me be silly.
I just have to say, like, thank you so much for all of the questions that you asked, because it really has brought out a lot of reflection in me, or like putting together these disparate parts of my story. And, you know, it's therapeutic in its own right to just be asked questions.
It so is. I love that. Yeah. Well, it's my pleasure. I would ask you questions all day, but I know we all have to get going somewhere. So where can people connect with you? You know, we mentioned Instagram, mention that again, and tell them your website. And I know you have this cool freebie you're giving away, and I know it's cool because I signed up and I got it. So share with us all that.
Yeah. So my Instagram is at La Mystica Tarot. It is a collection of curated images, and I treat it as a micro blog. So
it's gorgeous.
I'll put a lot of writing there too. Thank you for saying that. And then my website is lamystica.com. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I offer this 6-page workbook, although it's not really 6 pages of workbooking. It's some explanation about how tarot connects to our mindset. And then it does have a couple pages in the back of questions, journaling prompts, or questions that you could discuss with somebody about a card that you might pull. That is not unlike the exercise that we did earlier together, cool. Which thank you, Natalie, for being vulnerable and sharing, that information with us. So yeah, I would love to connect to you. Please, feel free to just say, hey, drop me a line. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm so stoked.
So stoked. I love stoked is one of my favorite words. I'm like, I secretly should have been from California, I think. Like, stoked. Let's go ride the waves and get pitted. Okay. Going another direction here. But also I just want to say, and Elise did not pay me to say this, y'all. Not that anyone ever pays me to say this, but just disclaimer here. I've had a reading with Elise and I felt so held and so seen. I cried. It was awesome. It was magical AF. It was so healing. And it made me like totally fall in love with what you're doing and the approach you bring. And, you know, with you, I don't know the full spectrum of you, so I can't say I'm like in love with you, Elise, but of what I have, how we've interacted, I'm like, wow, I really trust this person. And I love what you bring to the world. So, you've been a part of my healing journey and I'm grateful to you for that.
Well, I have to say, likewise, Natalie, like Dream Freedom Beauty has been such a huge connector for me. I've found so many resources through it and have like just had so much insight from all of your amazing guests. And I'm really like pretty blown away and honored to be one. So,
oh, totally. Well, it was super fun. Thank you. And we'll be checking out your podcast soon. And then listeners, if you want to check out more of Elise, you can check her out on the Self Care Club. She is episode 17, Elise Enzenberger. Check her out. And we will put the link in the show notes there where she shares her self care insights and journeys. So yeah, all these links will be in the show notes. Y'all can go to check out her website, check out her Instagram, and check her out on Self Care Club, and check out her podcast when it launches. So thank you so much, Elise, and thank you, listeners, and thank you, tarot spirits, and everybody. Thank you, everybody. It was awesome.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show. And I want to remind you all that you can come hang out with me and herbalist and magic maker Asia Suler on March 21st in our monthly live online gatherings in the Self Care Club membership. You can sign up to learn more about that at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret and just check out my email when I send it out. I'll let y'all know when you can sign up for that via email. And also, if you haven't already checked out this month, March 2018's energy report, you might want to. It's kind of a big month, and Rebecca and I get down about some intense things in there. So check that out. That is live in your podcast feed or at dreamfreedombeauty.com. Check it out. All right. See y'all next week.